Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Bills and the Chiefs, we're talking about it all morning, and we're going to bring in Sal, who is actually going to join us for the Monday morning version of the pregame huddle, brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company. Raise your glass with Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. And you can call us, 803-0550. You got a prediction, you got a thought, you got a question, a comment, opinion, and you can join in the discussion with Sal, who's with us right now on our Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you? Happy Monday game day.
Good morning to you guys. Good morning. Happy game day.
Sal's keys are to this game are available, too, and we'll get into a little bit of it. But they're also there at WGR550.com for your reading pleasure. The injuries to track as the day goes on, and we get to the release of the inactives. So what are you thinking? Brown, Milano, and Trey White are the three big names. They're all questionable. Kind of break down the chances of these guys, any, all, playing tonight.
I feel good about all of them playing, except for the fact that yesterday, even though they were all, you know, at practice all week and seemed like they were heading in the right direction, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but on the injury report, let me go through it and say who it is here. Milano went from full to limited, and John Brown went from full to limited. So that's not a really good thing to see. However, you never know what the circumstances are there. Maybe they went a little harder on Thursday, so they backed off. I'm sorry, on Friday. Got to get my days this week because of the game being moved to Monday. Maybe they went really hard on Friday, so they backed off them on Saturday. Like, you just don't know what the situation. Did something happen? Why did they go from full to limited? That would be the thing that would give me pause. But I will tell you from earlier in the week watching, knowing Matt Milano was out there, no red non-contact jersey, as a full participant, at least for one day. That was great. Tre'Davious White, basically same situation. We'll see what happens. Tremaine Edmonds, he was not even on the injury report as far as his game status is concerned. So I think that, you know, he's looking good to go.
Any key injuries for Kansas City going into this game?
Yeah, Sammy Watkins is out. And, you know, he's a big part of their offense, even though you could say, well, they have this guy and that guy. Yeah, they have Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travis Kelce. We know that. But it is one guy who's pretty good. And He's a pretty significant part of their offense, even though they have a lot of other weapons. And then just the other day, Mitchell Schwartz popped up on their injury report. He's their starting right tackle with a back injury as questionable. I don't expect him to miss the game. In fact, I was looking. Mitchell Schwartz actually has the longest active streak going of playing consecutive games in the NFL for his position. So I would expect this like 160-something games he's played in a row or something like that. So I think he's probably going to be okay to go. But, you know, we'll see. But it was interesting that he popped up in their injury report.
So if we're talking about the game plan and how this thing's going to go, there's, I guess, maybe two ways to ask how the defense is going to stop Patrick Mahomes, right? It's will they try to generate pressure, and if so, how? And the other is, I guess, would they just drop back the way that the Raiders did, where you rush three and you kind of flush the passing lanes? You know, two schools of thought on how to do this. Do you anticipate the Bills will throw pressure or will just play coverage?
First of all, let me say Mitchell Schwartz, 133 games, guys. I gave an extra 30. That would have been a lot tougher to get to. Jeremy, to answer your question, I think you have to try to do what the Raiders did initially, which is not have to commit a lot of blitzers. The Bills aren't a heavy blitzing team anyway. It's not really what they do. They'll blitz, you know, no doubt about that. They'll bring some pressure once in a while. But I think that could be a recipe for disaster, because if you don't get to Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have lots of guys to throw to, lots of options right off the line, lots of hot reads, and then, you know, just have really good skill players running around the field. What the Raiders did was they were able to get home somewhat. You know, it wasn't like they were taking them down on the ground, you know, but they had three sacks. They were able to get there with rushing four. And then basically when Mahomes, it's not just about rushing and, you know, moving him, getting him off his spot is one thing, which is great. But the second part of that, when you get him off his spot, is now he has to move and he can't read the whole field necessarily. Sure, you know, you could throw the ball back and things like that. We've seen him. We've seen Josh Allen do that. But when you have to move off your spot, you have to scramble. Now you're kind of reading more of half the field instead of the whole field. And I think that would be the preferred model. If that doesn't work, then sure, maybe you have to commit more. But once you start committing more, that's less guys in coverage. That's more opportunity for him to hit guys on hot reads, things like that. I just don't know if the Bills can do it. I'd love to see them do it. I think they want to try to do it. But I just don't know if they can, because we haven't seen that front four getting a lot of pressure this year.
Yeah. We're constructing the game plan for Bills Chiefs, by the way, presented by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies. Equipment you need when you need it. Yeah, we were talking earlier, Sal, about trying to get some kind of pressure with three or four. And the number I saw, actually, Vegas was really effective last week. They got 24 pressures on Patrick Mahomes last week, and they were dropping a lot of guys in coverage, and it seemed like they were making them hold on to the ball. But then, a couple problems here. One, you also got to make sure, as you're rushing, to maintain your edges, right? Because, you know, if he gets out there, he can run and burn you. And he's so improvisational. Like, you could think you got him on the run, and then he's in a bad position, and he'll just, you know, sidearm the football, maybe back against his body, and complete a pass in the middle of the field.
That's right. And I think you make a really good point about him also being an athlete and mobile and being able to run, Howard. It's not like, you know, he doesn't run a ton, but I looked up his game logs. He basically runs between 6 and 9, maybe 10 times a game. I'd say 6 is about right. 6 to 8 is about what he normally gets. You know, but so he's not going to be, and a lot of those are, you know, scrambles. And like you just said, you know, just kind of moving around and things like that. He doesn't get enough credit, I think, for how good of an athlete he is and how mobile he is, because he's such a great passer. But, you know, let's not forget, his dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher. He played an air raid offense with a lot of space, you know, in college. So, you know, he's a good athlete. And if the Bills, you know, do put a little pressure on him, they're going to have to be careful. But I would also say I'd still rather have that than him throwing down the field, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you're right. Those things can happen. But if you're giving me a choice between Patrick Mahomes has to scramble and try and run for 6 yards, I'd rather have that than him throwing down the field maybe one-on-one to Mecole Hardman, who happens to be running free because, you know, he's improvisational, as you say, and suddenly somebody got loose.
And their weapons, you know, we were talking earlier, how do the Bills try and defend Travis Kelce? And hopefully Matt Milano plays tonight and can help and be a big part of that. But how you defend Travis Kelce, and how you keep Tyreek Hill from having a big night are two really huge tasks.
Of course. I mean, we could just go down the laundry list of it, right? I mean, they're a really, really tough team. I expect the Bills to, you know, just try to play some zone here and see if they can, you know, keep everything in front of them and not be hurt by the big play. But at times you're going to have to match up with those guys. I think a big key to watch is, you know, what do they do with Tre'Davious White? Do they try to match him up with Tyreek Hill and have him shadow him, follow him around the field? If he does play, obviously, Tre'Davious White, or if they don't, if he doesn't, then they're in a lot more trouble. You know, do they basically, you know, just keep him on one side? I think the Bills have a lot of challenges here. You know, we saw what happens when they're depleted, those guys, on Tuesday night. And that's against the Tennessee Titans, who are, you know, they have weapons. We saw what Tennessee can do. We know that. No, this isn't the Titans. If you're missing Tre'Davious White, that's one whole problem in itself. If you're missing Matt Milano, I like Terrell Dotson. I think he can do some things. He's not Matt Milano, and this offense would present a lot more challenges, both from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint, by the way. They'll challenge you. Andy Reid's smart. You know, he would, if Matt Milano's not playing and Terrell Dotson's out there, I'm promising you, Andy Reid is going to find a way to try and put him in a bind and make him make some decisions and say, okay, well, this kid hasn't played that much in the NFL, you know, and we're going to make sure that, you know, we do some things to really put him in some conflicts here. I think that Taron Johnson did not play well. He hasn't played well all year. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, even Cam Lewis get a little more playing time, whether that's either on the outside for Josh Norman or on the inside for Taron Johnson. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, because I thought he played really well, actually, on Tuesday night. I thought he was physical And that's something they really like as well. So the Bills are going to have to, you know, figure out what they want to do on defense, and it's not going to be easy. No matter what you pick, it could be wrong.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mentioned your keys, which people can read at our website, WGR550.com. Third downs, the Bills have had some issues getting off the field. Mm-hmm. They had a hard time in Tennessee the other night. Their third down defense is key tonight, right? Because Kansas City is one of the better, well, they're one of the better offenses. If you're one of the better offenses, you're pretty much good across the board. But their third down percentages are what, top three or four, I forget. So get off the field.
And the Bills are number one. The Bills are the best. The Bills are the number one third down offense in the league. Yeah. The Chiefs are the number three third down offense in the league. The difference is, though, the Bills have struggled to get off the field on third down on defense, which is what you just said. Yeah. Third worst, 50.88% conversion rate for the Bills on third down. The Chiefs are about middle of the pack on defense, but yeah, that's the difference there. The third down defense has to be better. The offenses for both teams have been very good on third down.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, on paper you would expect both offenses to be successful tonight. They're both so good. And you've tweeted out the stat about the over-under, the highest over-under in the history of the Bills franchise since over-under started being kept. So are you expecting the shootout tonight? Do you think it'll go as many of us think it's going to go?
Actually, I'm not as much right now because it's going to be wet, guys. I don't know if you've seen the forecast. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be wet. This is not ideal weather for a sideline reporter, even in the moat. No, that's right. It's not ideal weather for an over-under. It's not ideal weather to see Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have a shootout. However, if it was just a normal game, I'd say in dry, I'd say absolutely. I do. I think it's going to be two teams, maybe both over 30. If not, one of them over 30 and the other one high 20s. But I think the over-under is about right for what we'd probably expect to see, which is 57.5, by the way. I don't know what to expect because of the weather. I think the weather could be a really interesting factor in this game, guys. I'm just going to read you. I actually got a text from Patrick Hammer because I from Channel 2. He said, no change in the forecast. Wet today. Showers ease by kickoff, but still cool and damp. Upper 40s, light wind. So, okay, showers ease by kickoff, so maybe that'll help a little bit with that. But it's still showing that they're going to be lingering, so we'll see.
Yep, I saw Patrick Hammer wrote a tweet. He said, I wouldn't put a frame on this one, put the forecast in a frame today. It's not exactly the most banner day for fall. So a tough one. I guess, anytime that happens, people tend to think that a team's going to lean on the run a little bit more. And that's something the Chiefs have not done crazy well. I looked at it today. The Chiefs averaged 26 more yards rushing per game than the Bills. You know, they're like middle of the pack on running the football, and the Bills are a little bit below that. So, maybe we see a little bit more of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe we see a little bit more Singletary based on the forecast or based on how things go. You know, Sal, let me ask you that. Like, when a game plan is put in place, let's say Brian Daboll's got the plan ready, they had the extra day, and heavy run, heavy pass, is it open to interpretation based on how hard it's going to be raining today? I mean, you could call individual plays, of course, but, does the offensive coordinator get up on a day like today and think, well, all right, we're going to have to go towards this a little bit more, or is that only in the case you think of extreme weather?
I think it's more in the extreme weather to start with, Jeremy. I think in a day like today, you kind of stick with what you want until it maybe starts to get like, okay, this could be a dicey, but until it starts to not work, or you get there and you go, okay, we might have to change some things. Look at this. I think about wind a lot for this, when the Bills play home games in that really windy conditions, they do have to adjust. They have to adjust even based on quarter, based on which way they're going, right? I mean, so you see that happen all the time. But I think they generally want to stick to their game plan for the most part, and unless it basically becomes a real issue. I think that's the case. I'm looking over the Chiefs right now. I think they ran real well. Let me see what they did. They ran real well early that first game. Remember the first game?
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a monster game in the opener.
Right.
And then since then, it's not
okay, so
quite
here you go.
Bent.
In the opener, 166 in the opener. Since then, 125, 132, 94, and 80 the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Now they've played the Patriots and the Raiders. So they haven't been bad at it. But I would like to point out, just like the Bills, there's a reason that they signed Le'Veon Bell, right? I mean, I think that they feel that they need a little more from their running game. He obviously is going to add to their passing game. So, yeah, I mean, this isn't like a great running team, but they've run the ball okay, especially early in the season. They did the last couple of weeks. They haven't been as good.
And reminder, he is not, Bell is not playing tonight against the Bills.
Correct. That's correct.
I guess they're expecting him to play against Denver in their next game.
Their last three games, their rushing yards per attempt, 4.3, 3.8, and 4.0.
You know, look, the run D was fine in Tennessee, by the way. I mean, Derrick Henry did not
That's
have...
That's right.
It's not like he ran for 212 yards against the Bills and a 94-yard touchdown run. Philosophically, and I know the weather, what you talk about with the weather can factor into this, but philosophically, if you're the Bills, in the past, if you weren't sure how your offense was, you would go into a game like this and you'd want to, quote, shorten the game, right? Hold on to the ball, ball control, long drives, keep Mahomes off the field, yada, yada, yada. Of course, they can come on and go 90 yards in 3 minutes anyway. But philosophically, Sal, do you think the Bills would have that mindset to, quote, shorten the game? Or do you look at it and go, you know, like we were saying, nah, stick to your guns. You do what you do. Play to your strengths. And your strengths are attacking, putting the ball up in the air, looking for the deep throws if they're there, and not worry about, well, we got to be on the field for an 8-minute drive here.
Yeah, I think if the Bills try to shorten the game, they're only hurting themselves. That's not who they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Bills are a team that attacks. And if they start to – you know what? Last week was shortening the game. And not by their own doing necessarily. Maybe what the Titans were forcing, but the Bills took it, right? And they said, okay, we'll keep everything. And they never took shots downfield. And that's not who they are. And look what the result was. You know, they had trouble scoring. They had trouble attacking and getting the ball in the end zone. They made mistakes on long drives. I think the Bills want to make sure that they do what they do. They are to a point now. I thought about this over the weekend, Howard, which is it's nice to finally be at a point where you're like, you know what? No, we're going to make them stop us. Right. We're not going to have to say to them, oh, well, they're this and they're that. So make sure. Sure, there's always going to be an element of that. But how about they stop us? How about they figure out how they're going to stop our offense? Because, you know, we're going to attack them and we're going to try and score points. And, yeah, we'd love to see, you know, Patrick Mahomes not on the field very much. And we'd love to hold the ball. But guess what? If we can score from 80 yards out, we're going to score from 80 yards out.
So what was the story over the weekend about the fill that was added to the surface of the stadium with guys, what, slipping too much? What's going on with that?
So the first two home games, there were some guys slipping a little bit too much on the turf. And it was noted, it was brought up a couple times on Sean McDermott's press conferences after those games, at least once. And Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News had asked him a question about it. So Jay circled back again after... going into this game a couple days ago, it was Friday, and asked him about, you know, was that addressed at all? And Sean said, yes, we've actually added some fill to the turf, you know, to make sure to try and get better footing. So obviously the fill would be the rubber pellets you see, right? If you add more of that, basically, that's what it is. The turf is
less
made up. It's
like a feeling of less of the grass and more of the hard surface.
The grass, less of the...
I just mean, like, if you're pouring it in, like, the field turf has the blades of grass, right? The fake blades have a certain length. So less of that would be exposed to make it seem like we're going from the rough to the first cut is what I feel like it would be happening.
I think so. I think so, Jeremy. You know, I wonder, you know, basically if the more fill you have, you know, maybe the less maybe the more your feet are going to sink into it too, right? Because it's not, think about it this way, right? Yeah. The less fill you have, the more it's going to be more of a hard surface, right? The more fill you have, it'll be a little bit softer, but at least you'll be able to maybe get your feet in a little bit more. You know what I mean? I don't know. And then, you know, obviously if you do that, it could slow you down a little bit. You add in maybe a wet field. Like I'm interested to see, I don't think there's any drastic changes. Let's just say that. But it was noticed, and it was noticeable, and it is something they've addressed, and that's how Sean McDermott has said he's addressed it, and they have as an organization for tonight's game.
All right. Just curious. You had a chance to hang out and just watch football yesterday. What grabbed you? What did you think of some of the stuff you were watching yesterday?
Well, I'm really mad because I said to myself all Friday, I'm like, don't take – the Broncos to lose. I think they can go to New England and maybe win. Don't take them to lose. And of course it happened. But it's okay because my backup team, if I didn't take them, would have been the Niners to lose, and they lost last night anyway. And that's really what gets me, Howard, which is, you know, it's a week to week league, right? I mean, look what the Bills did. I mean, the Bills didn't like blow away the Dolphins, but you know, the Bills scored over 30 points on the Dolphins. They wound up winning. The Dolphins go to San Francisco and just blow them out. The Bills beat the Rams, but the San Francisco beats the Rams pretty handily last night. They handled them well. You know what I mean? Those are things that jump out, is just how much it is a week-to-week league. I'm very impressed, again, you know, with Tennessee's offense and what they're doing. I still think that they're a very beatable team. I mean, they play a lot of close games. It's funny. The one game they didn't play was close was the Bills, right? And they win close games every single week. Pittsburgh's just good. They're just solid. But, man, the Devin Bush injury is really going to test them and hurt them. They don't have anybody like him on the roster. They have to go with a couple different pieces. But, man, they still have really good players all over that defense. I'm kind of jumping around, but those are some of the things that grabbed me.
I want to jump on one of your points here. It's one of the reasons I think Bills fans might want to see the offense bounce back is, you know, Tennessee – they scored a bunch on the Bills, and the offense just didn't have a great day. Everybody else has scored on Tennessee. You know, even Jacksonville put up, what, 30 points on Tennessee? Here's a Houston team that fired its coach and puts up a big number on Tennessee. So
how about Minnesota? Minnesota looked terrible against a bad defense yesterday. They scored over 30 against Tennessee.
Yeah, so, like, the Titans have been giving up points, and the Bills didn't get there. So, you know, even if the Bills come up short today, Sal, I think, you know, one – I'm not going to call it a moral victory, but, you know, I think sometimes week-to-week league, as you point out, can lead to an identity crisis. And if the Bills lose to the Chiefs, you know, 31-13, we will be talking about what's going on with the offense as much as we're saying the defense is giving up too much. So, you know, to try and get that identity back and get the offense back on the right page, I think, is important tonight.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, is it a must win? Of course it's not a must win. I mean, they're still in first place in the AFC East no matter what. There's still 10 games left in the season. But for people to feel good, if you want to talk about, like, in the standings for the organization, for the team, it's not a must win. Is it a must look good for fans to feel better about their football team? Sure. I mean, I get that. Yep. You know, we all want to feel better about that. But they still have the Jets coming up on the horizon, a very beatable, it looks like, New England team after that. You know, even if they lose this game, and no matter what fashion it is, we could be sitting here at 6-2 after 8 games, and people are thinking, okay, like, they're in a pretty good spot here as they go forward. You know, the other thing that really that stood out yesterday and grabbed me is just this conversation now about the Jets and Trevor Lawrence and Sam Darnold, and it looks like the Jets are really trending towards the number one pick. They made a trade yesterday. Steve McClendon's gone. The sell-off is on, apparently. So I read this morning the Jets have a 57 or 59% chance right now, as it is at 538, of landing the number one overall pick. So I think right now that's what it is. The number one pick watch is on for the Jets, and the way they looked yesterday – it's no longer about when Adam Gase is going to be fired. It's basically like, what are they going to do at quarterback? Do you assume they would draft Trevor Lawrence and then, what, trade Sam Darnold? I think that's going to be the conversation now for the next several weeks.
I wonder how they're going to even, not necessarily field the team the rest of this year, but it is so bad that, I mean, players, I don't know, Sal, any player that's out there, you got to wonder how hard it is not to just, like, pack it up. Not, right. not like give up.
I know.
But
I know.
It is so bad. So you're down 24 points, and you go Frank Gore run three times and punt. Like,
I mean,
and now you got the whole. Now you see what Greg Williams took a shot at Adam Gase the other day.
Oh,
now Gase has to answer back. Like, Williams was asked about, I guess it was Friday, right? And this is a surprise that Greg Williams would do this.
Right.
He was asked about, you know, your defense has given up like 32 points a game. That's not a good number. He said, no, it isn't a good number, but a lot of it's not defensively. So he basically says, hey,
it's not all in the defense.
You see the offense we have, boys? So Gase is like sitting there at the press conference yesterday saying, yeah, I wasn't happy with the shot my defensive coordinator took at me. We've talked about it. I'm like, hey, there you go. Way to go, Greg. Way to put a little fuel on the old fire there in New York with everything else going on.
The line for Bills Jets next week, I think I saw opened at 11.5.
Wow.
Yes.
So there
it is,
you go.
It is the largest the Bills have been favored in a road game since 1994.
Man.
Boy, the Jets are lucky fans can't go to games, huh?
Oh, my Lord. Their offense is unwatchable. It really is. It's so bad. And it's so many different areas, too. All right. Well, listen, you know, I was going to say stay dry, but it sounds like you won't be able to. So good luck in the rain and the moat.
Well, you'll see me today. I'm coming.
Oh, that's right. You got extra points. 10 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. So extra point today and Sal's keys to tonight's game.
And tomorrow, by the way. We're doing both. So.
All right.
Then I'll.
You're going for, we'll call it going for two. How about that, right?
I'm going for two. By the way, I will state on the record, I was okay with Romeo Crennel and what he did. I'm fine.
You're 1-4. Try and win the game.
You know what? We've had a lot of debates about that. Coaches have done it more earlier in games, though. I understand that. And a lot of times they get praised for it. Yeah, that's a good move. So the one time it doesn't happen, no, I'm not going to criticize the guy. You know what? I give him credit. Yeah, you're right. They were 1-4. They're on the road. You're an interim coach. It's okay. I mean, I'm fine with them going for two, and, you know, it just didn't work out.
All right, I'll see you at 10. Sal's article on the keys to the game at WGR550.com. Thank you, Sal.
Okay, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.